Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
I want to welcome you to another Roundtable Podcast one more time. If you don't know, my name is Norm Funk. I am the lead pastor of Westside Church. Joining me at the Roundtable today... I'm going to start with Matt Menzel. Wow. We usually start with James Bonney, but I'm going to start with Matt Menzel. Matt Menzel, good to see you again. If you don't know Matt, Matt is pastor, elder, teacher, preacher, all-around great guy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good to see you, Matt.
Yeah. Thank you. Good to be seen.
And James Bonney. James is the campus pastor. You know, we got to edit that.
No, that's good.
Is the campus pastor for a couple more days.
Yeah. if he says pledge one more time, this is about the last day.
Yeah. So, I think the village is looking for a junior high director. So if you want to, an assistant too.
Nice, come on.
Assistant to the regional manager.
No, I'm the assistant or regional man. No, you're assistant too. No, he's the campus pastor, elder at Westside, campus pastor of the North Shore, I should say specifically. Mm-hmm. Good to see you guys. We're in this Exodus series. We've been walking through the first... almost four chapters. We reserved the last section of chapter 4 to you, Matt, so you can talk about circumcision.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah. It's one of my favorite topics to really go into.
So, but up to this point, we've obviously talked about the slavery of Egypt and the call of Moses. And I want to hit that specifically, meaning the call of Moses, the call on God's people. Mm. As I was saying just in the lead into this podcast, to you guys, when you start talking about calls of God and when you couple that with the insecurity that we all have of ourselves, insecurity that is very, I think, sometimes based on some very real and accurate assessments. I think just like Moses, I think he had insecurities based on an accurate assessment of his giftings and lack thereof, his past and so forth, and how God responded to that. As I said in my message on Sunday, God doesn't flatter him. He doesn't try to build him up. He just says, look, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you through other people and so forth. But there's insecurities, too, that I think are wrongly assessed because our eyes are focused on things that they shouldn't be focused on. We evaluate things by the size of the task at hand instead of the size of the God we follow, those types of things. So when you start talking about calls, however, and our insecurities, and also how we view God, is He trustworthy? You know, and also our expectations when we're called to certain things. And so I just want to hit this a little bit more, just dig deeper. I'm assuming that community groups are digging deeper, but there is only so much you can hit on this topic on a Sunday, and only so much that you can wrestle with even in your community group. So let's wrestle and go a little bit deeper. And I've just got some questions, and I'll just see how far we go with this and how much, you know, how much time these questions take. But in terms of, maybe let me get things rolling this way. When it comes to the call of God, in what ways are we called by God? In what ways, what I mean by that is how does God call us? What does He call us to? And tied in with that, feel free to go down the road of dealing with it, what he doesn't call us to and what the call doesn't promise us. So big topic in terms of our big questions in regards to this topic. So, but let me begin there.
All right. So, you know, just as far as the general call for Christians, I mean, you've said last week, I don't know if any other weeks before that maybe, but... you know, our call, we're all called as believers, from sinner to saint, slave to free, light to darkness, that whole thing, that call for the Christian as an individual, really, and also corporately for us as a church together, but the call to become more Christ-like, the call to sanctification, these are very real calls of God that I don't think, you know, I think sometimes they get undersold in a world where often calling only equates to, you know, calling, being called to plant a church or being called to start a new ministry or being called to go overseas or whatever. The call to become Christ-like, you know, what is the will of God for you? Your sexual purity, right? I forget the word it uses there.
Sanctification.
Thank you. Your sexual sanctification. It's like, your sanctification, that's so important. And I think that's one of the calls for every believer. There are obviously are ministry calls for every believer as well. But that first and foremost, I think that call for a Christian, obviously there's the call for every person in the world to come to Christ and to repent. But then for Christians specifically, to become more Christ-like, I think is a call that everybody has.
So we have this call from death to life. Mm-hmm. In that call, we have a call to Christ-likeness, sanctification, maturity. Mm-hmm. What else? What other calls do we have?
Well, I mean, just to add to that, I think there's a call in that to God himself, to be fully for him, which is kind of what we see in Moses and every calling here is you have, you always have God kind of leading you into a calling. Like you have these disciples who are chosen. They're, you know, Jesus prays overnight, picks these 12. And then there's a calling when he rose from death into ministry, like everyday ministry. And then I think there's this particular calling, like you saw with those 12, with Moses, for God to accomplish big historical movements. And I think you get a call, particularly, you know, for example, Norm, when you felt that call, it was a different call. When you became a Christian, it was, okay, I'm as a believer called to go and make disciples. But when Jesus pulled you over on that road, you heard him and you felt called into a particular purpose for God. And so those are the kind of callings where you need a lot of wisdom, you need a lot of discernment, because nowadays people say, I'm called to this, God told me this, God told me that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important kind of in this discussion that we talk about how do you, because everyone's called to go make disciples. You don't have to wake up and go, am I called to be on mission today? Of course. But how do you know you're called into something particular more? How do you discern that? I think that's kind of...
And that's where most people, I think, go in terms of their thought process. If they are a follower of Jesus, are those types of specific calls.
Right.
So they've been called from death to life, what you talked about, Matt. They've been called to the ongoing pursuit of Christ-likeness, that's our upward prize that we are seeking to attain. Mm-hmm. So we have that call. Then we have the specific calls of God to things like sexual purity, for example. We have the call of God to be witnesses. We've all been called to go. Mm-hmm. But then we have these specific calls. Now, let me ask an obvious question, but I want to make sure we get it, because just trying to kind of assume those who are listening, are all calls big calls under this aspect of call to specific ministry? So Paul was called from death to life, Paul the apostle, but he was called, he says, I've been called to be an apostle. Mm-hmm. So he has that call. We get specific calls like my call to plant a church. I have no doubt that I was called by God to do that. That was very, very crystal clear to me. You talk about the drive home from when I was down in Seattle, and I felt very much called by God to plant Westside. But are they all big calls? Do they all have to be major things like setting 2 to 3 million free from Egypt, or even planting a church? That's a pretty significant thing, even if, you know, I hope that doesn't sound pompous, but that's a pretty significant call. But are they all big calls?
So I don't think I'd use the word big. I don't think that's a helpful word there. I think they are all big calls in the sense of they're all equally as important.
Right.
Right? Because if God...
He's a contrary.
No, I'm not trying to contradict.
I mean, from God's perspective, every call is a big call.
Well, we should... This is God's perspective. That's what this is. No, but I'm saying I agree with you.
I wouldn't use that word.
No, I would use the word.
What word would you use?
Are all calls equally as visible or easy to see? And I'd say no. I'd say some people are called to lead, and you're called to plant a church 10 years ago, and that's easy to see. Like that, that's a call that's like, so I don't think it's bigger than the person who's called. You know, you agree with this too. I just am saying the word.
No, I'm giving you a hard time. I love you, and I'm giving you a hard time. And I like how you say it. Look, if it's from God, it's a big call.
Yeah, and that's what I mean.
And I like that.
So I think the stay-at-home mom and the dad and
community group leader,
husband, wife, community group leader, musician, athlete, like employer, employee, all of these are calls by God at times. And so I think that, but some are much, and you know, actually I'm going to hit this week with the text we have in front of us, because this is actually the tension that I'm going to kind of launch into the text with is, you know, Moses is called to go and free, you know, a few million people from the most powerful government that exists in that day, right? I mean, so in light of that, we can sometimes feel like we're not called at all. You know, I'm just called to plant a church, or I'm just called to do this. Or I'm just called, like Moses' call was pretty big. It was big, and you know, to use that word, it's easy to see. And so I think we need to recapture, as you're saying, as you're drawing us toward, like, this idea that we're all called.
Right.
And and every call, though not as easy to see, not as maybe won't give you the same kind of influence over a great number of people, I think that the call to faithfulness is really what we're after.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a contrarian.
Yeah. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, I know.
I like that. Okay, so let's double back, because we're talking about getting called by God, getting called by Creator God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people are going, I think all of us have come across those individuals that talk about, God told me, God told me, God told me, God, I feel the sense all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There are those people, and to be honest, there are times where I'm a little bit suspicious, but I want to talk about that group of people now. I can double back maybe if I have time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to address the person who's going, okay, you're talking about calls of God. Mm. How does God call me to do those things? I've never heard from God. I don't have a bush that's on fire. Mm-hmm. God's not meeting me in a bush. Mm-hmm. How do you go about discerning and with integrity say, I've been called by God to do something? How does that happen? So how does God call us to those things not written in the scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
But to specific events, to start a business, to move here, to marry this person, to let's talk about that. How do people sense, how can they discern a call of God to this third aspect of call? Not the first call, death to life, not the second general call, what we see in the scriptures of pursuing Christ's likeness, but to this kind of third category, if I can use that language. How would you help someone discern that?
Mm-hmm.
How would you answer the question?
Well, I mean, I'll answer from experience when...
Not the dog story.
Not the dog story.
No, I won't, guys. All right, so I had this dog named... No, it's right. No, I would say for me, when it began with a unsettling, it began with something was happening in my spirit. As I read the word, there was a hunger to want to do more, teaching more. So everyone's going to have a different calling, but the one thing that I love is that God will pursue you. You don't need to kind of just hunger for a call, for a call. I think God knows what he's doing. He's got this plan for you. So if you're listening and you're just wanting to do something, so you're trying to find something, the Lord will lead you. And for me, it was an unsettling. And then what happened, I just began to go, well, I don't know if this is from the Lord or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so it began a time of genuine prayer, genuine fasting. And it started with talking to leaders in my life and just starting to pursue that road and ask God, if you're in it, open the doors. If you're not, please shut the doors.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about that in terms of people in your life, because I think that's a really important element in terms of, because we are part of a body.
Mm-hmm.
We're one aspect of the body. We're saved individually, but we are part of a body, and we grow in the context of community. One of the things, and we're again talking about this on the front end before the podcast started, we didn't really hit it in our message on Sunday on either campus, in our messages on either campus on Sunday, but God calls Moses, but he doesn't call Moses alone. He says, look, I'm calling you to this.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to go to the elders, you're going to share with them that God called you, and his name is Yahweh, and they're going to believe you, and they're going to go with you. And then on the back end, he says, and I'm going to give you Aaron to go with you. Here he comes, and he's going to be jacked up to see you.
Yeah.
So there's this body life, I think. I think we can take that aspect. I think that's being faithful to the text, and even if it's not specifically, I think we see that all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Body life, we see that in the book of Acts, right? We see that this seemed good to the Spirit and to us.
Mm-hmm.
The raising of the first deacons in Acts chapter 6. They brought them to the whole gathering of the disciples of Jesus, and they said, yes, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So people speaking into your lives, all right, people encouraging you and affirming you, getting excited. I think that's an important element in terms of discerning God's call. Other things?
No, I totally agree on that. If I could just jump on that for a second, because it's, I think... I mean, that's a big part of my story, too, growing up, just having guys around me, pastors around me. Before I brought anything up, mentioning things to me or kind of planting seeds with me, and I remember I have two specific guys in my life that were really instrumental early on, before I'd ever considered, you know, called to a specific kind of thing, where they were saying, you know, you're called to this. I remember one guy is still a mentor of mine today. And I just remember him saying, I was 11, 12 at the time when he started saying, you're called to this, you're called to this. And that refrain sort of started to happen. And that became really important later on. And I'm thankful to God for that, because one of the hardest things, maybe not one of the hardest things, that might be an exaggeration, but a really tough thing to deal with that we have to deal with on a regular basis is guys almost self-assessing their call.
Right.
And coming to you and saying, look, I'm called to this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nobody around them.
Right.
And often these are guys that you don't know real well. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think in this, and just in our culture, it's so individualistic. We're, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of are our own, you know, sometimes we're our own worst critics, but we're also our own biggest fans at times. And we have to be really careful of that. I think, you know, we need to recapture that idea that if you're called to something, the people around you who know you, they're going to affirm that, mm-hmm. because we have one spirit.
Yeah,
that's right.
We have one spirit. And when you're not around, like if you've had to move somewhere, or, you know, you come from somewhere else and people don't really know you where you are, you've got to allow for several years there. You've got to give yourself some time, mm-hmm. like a real season, and allow people to get to know you and let God raise you up into mm-hmm. something. You know, if you're fighting to raise yourself up into something, that's going to be a real problem.
That one mm-hmm. spirit idea is something I've come back to quite a bit over these mm-hmm. last number of years. And I think just to make sure that those who are listening get this, we don't all have a bunch of little Holy Spirits mm-hmm. in us. There's mm-hmm. one spirit, same spirit in me, mm-hmm. same spirit in you. Mm-hmm. So the aspect of bringing people in our lives to help us discern calls means you're bringing someone who shares the spirit, mm-hmm. spirit in them, mm-hmm. spirit in me. So if the spirit is leading you to something, if they are a person who walks in the spirit, they're mm-hmm. seeking the spirit's will, they'll speak out of that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll affirm that, or they may hesitate and go, have you thought about this? Mm-hmm. Maybe you aren't sensing God's call. Maybe right. you're pursuing something out of the flesh, mm-hmm. or maybe you need to step back. Mm-hmm. Maybe I, mm-hmm. you know, I'm seeing something that you're not, whatever it is. But that's why it's so important, because you're not just bringing people in, mm-hmm. you're bringing the Spirit mm-hmm. of God in, and the Spirit of God loves to work mm-hmm. in the fellowship.
Yeah.
It's the fellowship of the Spirit. So He yeah. loves to work in that. And so yeah. that's important. So you have the aspect of the Spirit's individual mm-hmm. stirring, like you talked about, that restlessness. I had that restlessness yeah. before planting Westside for 2 years, and I couldn't put my mm-hmm. finger on it. I just knew I was restless. Mm-hmm. And there was things that I think were being orchestrated that needed to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
But then people speaking in our lives, mm-hmm. that aspect. How else?
Well, the other gift of having a body speak into your life is when you get a call like that, or you kind of sense, whether it's church planting, you immediately, I think the danger in a calling is you add what that looks like. So you mm-hmm. add an expectation, you sense that, but I mean, God tells Abraham, go, that's it. So Abraham has no idea what that's going to look like. And I think a lot of guys get stuck because they'll feel this call and they'll go, okay, it's going to be this, it's going to be this, it's going to be this. And they need the body to go, hey, your calling's still there, but I don't think it's what you thought this way. And that's where God uses the body. Like, for example, I'm just so thankful, and I say this just with so much respect, that like God led me to Westside in the sense where it wasn't a standalone, but when I felt called, it was going to be my own thing off on here, and the Lord used many people in my life to go, hey, I think you're gifted here, you lack these gifts, so this is a sweet spot mm-hmm. for you. And just, I think the people who are feeling called, the danger is you go, this is what it's going to look like right away, and the body can help you. The elders, the pastors, mm-hmm. those around you can go, I want to affirm this in you, but it may not be this or that or this. And God uses the body to do that.
And I think, I think it can be a danger, but I also think, you know, I think we just have to be careful. And that's why the whole God told me conversation is so important. Like, I think it's completely reasonable to say, you know, God's prompting me in this way, or I'm feeling led by the Spirit in this way. Those kind of statements. When we say God told me and then attach specifics mm-hmm. to it, there's a number of issues that I have with that. But one of them is the fact that we're not a good filter. Like we for the Word of God, like we have fallible minds. fallible hearts that are deceitful above all things. When we utter the words, God told me, and don't back that up with a text, but instead back that up with plans,
right.
I think is we're in dangerous ground, because I think God loves to do that. He loves to take people and move you in a direction. I mean, that's what he's done with me too. Like, mm-hmm. Melissa and I had that restlessness. I was managing a company in Kelowna. Things are going really well, other than the fact that I was very, very sick. But things were going really well. Melissa was happy. I was happy. We thought we could do this for a long time, but we'd felt this restlessness that was kind of just gnawing at us all the time. So we were married for about a year, so it's about, you know, 7 years ago, and we got down on our knees together in our living room. I remember it very well, and we just prayed, God, if you wanted, we don't know, like, we sent a call, but we don't know if we're supposed to chase it and go run after it, or if you just bring it to us. Mm. And so we just prayed, if you want to change anything, go ahead. If not, that's fine too. And there's something so sweet about resigning yourself to the people around you, yeah. and resign yourself to God moving you and moving things, because when he does that, it's you're being taken from where you are and moved somewhere else by the Spirit alone, and that's freeing. And then you don't have to attach. Like, so we mm-hmm. came here, and we came to plant a church too. But there's a reason why Melissa and I, because we were trying to guard ourselves from this, we condensed our call down to two things. And we said, we're not primarily called to plant a church. We're primarily called to see the lost come to Jesus and to see Christians equipped through mm-hmm. the local church, because we know that's how God does it. So we wanted to base our call on Scripture. And then whatever happens in the future, however God works that out, we're safe mm-hmm. because we know our call is here. Now, I think God can call to specific things too.
Sure.
But I just think, I like Jamie's right. saying, we just have to be really careful.
Oh, with absolutely. That. I could not agree more with that. So the Scriptures as the guide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good, godly, spiritual people.
Yeah.
When I say spiritual, spirit-led, spirit-filled, mm-hmm. seeking the Spirit's mm-hmm. leading on their lives and mm-hmm. the lives that they speak into. And that's why it's so important to have those people in your life all the time. Because mm-hmm. what happens a lot of times is people are sensing a certain call. They don't have people that know them.
Right.
They don't have people that they've walked with and vice versa. And all of a sudden they have these 911 moments.
Yeah.
And they call people that don't really know them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this happens on Sundays. I'm thinking about this. What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really
yeah.
know you.
Yeah.
I'll pray for you. But having people in our lives that can speak into them, because those individuals are very helpful, because there are always going to be Christians who may disagree.
Mm-hmm.
They may say, I don't see this. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is for you. And then they'll have others, same decision, go, no, I do see this for you. Mm-hmm. So then you go, okay, how do I make my decision? You've said go to people who are Christ followers to help that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where you need to have some select people in your life that you have journeyed with, that know you best, that love you much.
Mm-hmm.
And have a sense for considering things that other people don't. As a bit of a bit of a side to this, but one of the things that makes me sad in that discussion, mm-hmm. really pertaining to churches in particular, and specifically lead pastors of churches, I'm always shocked when lead pastors of ministries resign their positions, leave their ministries, and in that process of deciding to resign, leave their ministries, the people they don't bring into the discussion are their own elders.
Mm-hmm.
That boggles the mind,
mm-hmm.
that this group that should be the tightest with you, love you much, mm-hmm. absolutely partnering in life and ministry, is kept out of decisions like that.
Mm.
I mean, those should be the people that you go to first and go, I'm sensing this.
Right.
Like, I think of when Chad left,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and Chad was, you know, approached, he was about to, Chad yeah. McDonald, one of the guys on staff for many years, and he approaches us in the process. He hadn't been hired and mm-hmm. said, I'm taking a chance, I'm going to come right. and share. And it was the beauty, and this sounds self-congratulatory, but I'll say it because I'm proud of the elders. Mm. There wasn't a sense of screw him, get rid of him.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's not for us, he's against us. Let's,
yeah.
you know, no,
yeah.
it's, hey, Chad, let's walk with you in
yeah.
this. Let's
mm-hmm.
seek God's face together. And if it's not God's leading, your job is secure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if it is, man, the guys that love you much, mm-hmm. they're going to walk with you in this. So it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe one of the reasons why, speaking of lead pastors, why they don't do it, I don't think they maybe have that type.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fear.
Yeah.
there's a fear, which is ironic if you think that this is the group I'm serving with to serve this ministry. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, in these most important decisions, I'm not gonna have you involved. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
A couple other questions tied into this. What does the call of God not promise? That people, I think, think it does?
I would say success in the world's eyes. You look at guys like, we'll see Moses. We'll see John the Baptist. You know, I love the end of Hebrews 11. Some were sawn in half.
Yeah.
And it doesn't promise that it will go well. But it does. I do think that it does promise you more of Him.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an aspect where the call is about faithfulness to God and obedience to Him, and that's all you're promised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that again, like I'm getting more excited to preach this text on circumcision this week.
Now that it is a weird text. Yeah.
No, but because you know, even with Moses, I mean, Moses is specifically called by God to go to Pharaoh to command the people of Israel are set free. Right, that you would think that success for Moses would be the people of Israel being set free, but then you know we read in this week's text that you know God is going to harden Pharaoh's heart, right? Mm-hmm. Which we've obviously hit that before, and the implications of that—the sovereignty of God versus the free will of man—all that stuff we've hit before. But Moses is sent out to do a job that God is actually going to keep him from being able to accomplish until his time is right. Now. So I think sometimes the call of God, the time is never right while you're alive. So I think some are called to things, and obviously we can look through scripture like Jeremiah and others, but there are, I think, some people called to things where they never get to see the fruit of what they were called to. And I think that that's a really important thing to remember is that it's exactly what you just said, James, that success isn't accomplishing necessarily that thing. Success is faithfulness to God. If you remain faithful to God in your call, that's success. And I think we recapture that.
And I think the guy who's on the ground who's just called and being faithful, it's not your fault, maybe, that things aren't moving the way you thought. And I think that's what he needs to remember, that your call was a audience of one, faithfulness to obey. And now I think there's aspects where you can reassess there's things you can work on, all that kind of thing. But when it comes to calling, you're not guaranteed. Again, that goes back to my expectation comment. You got to be careful what you bring to the table in that call.
Yeah, and it, you know, to use Paul's illustration to the Corinthians, it goes, look, our call is to proclaim, right? Plant seed, water it. God causes the growth, right? He hits this in a different way, same idea, a different way in 2 Corinthians 4, where he talks, look, we proclaim Jesus, but man, people are blinded by our enemy, right? Mm-hmm. They're blinded, and so who's going to bring the blinders off? It's God, but we still proclaim. Our call is to proclaim. So it doesn't promise success, at least not in the way we think.
Right.
It does promise intimacy. It does promise worship. It does promise Christ-likeness. Mm-hmm. I think all of those things. But that is something I think is really important for people, right? Mm-hmm. So if a person feels, let's just use the example of church planting. No, let's not use that one. Let's use the example of, man, I feel like I've got to talk to my neighbor.
Right.
I feel just this urgency. And therefore, that urgency leads to a belief of this is going to be successful. It's going to be wondrous.
Yeah.
They're going to listen and they're going to come to Jesus and they're going to think I'm and it goes crappy.
Yeah.
Goes down the, and people, well, maybe I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Maybe I didn't do something right. Man, I see people handcuffed like that all the time, too.
God is glorified through the proclaiming of the gospel, through the sowing of seed. He is glorified when we are obedient to His Spirit.
That's right.
To obey is better than sacrifice, as 1 Samuel 15 talks about, right? And that's why obedience is success. Faithfulness is success. Like, that's why we have to redefine where we started, right? That His work of making us more like Christ, that work of sanctification— He's doing that when you respond obediently to the prompting of God to share the gospel with your neighbor, you are being made more like Christ. And if the neighbor responds really well, glory to God. If the neighbor responds poorly and even rejects you, glory to God. Because, because, and this is something we don't like to talk about a lot because it's hard for us to understand, but God will be glorified both through those who repent and those who don't. God will still be glorified in all things. And so you... faithfulness, obedience, that is success.
I remember when we were going through the book of Acts, like the shipwreck. I just thought, like, why a shipwreck? Here's a guy just giving his, I mean, just get him across the sea.
Right.
And don't quit. Like, Paul just did not quit.
Well, and that's the aspect of Paul's sufferings where in Galatians 6, where Paul says, don't give me grief or a hard time or call into question my ministry. I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. So to paraphrase, what Paul is saying is, what validates my ministry are the resistance of people shown in the marks on my body. And that validates my ministry. Not them responding, although many have, but what validates my ministry is the body, the marks on my body, which is just, it's a telling statement. One other question before we wrap this up, because time is done. One thing to hit in this whole idea about calls is this misnomer that all the ducks are going to be lined up before I go, meaning that I have to have a bunch of answers to a bunch of questions figured out before I can go, when we don't always see that. I mean, the call of Abram, right? Abraham, but Abram in Genesis chapter 12, go to a land I will show you. But I really like from this week's text, and I thought Josh hit it so, he hit it in a way better way than I did in my message on Sunday, where he talked about the promise of God to Moses to go, and one of the signs will be on the front end that they will serve me on this mountain, worship me on this mountain. And Josh made the comment that this was a sign, how did he put it? I wrote it down. He talked about, and I'm going to hit it today, essentially, this was not a sign to, but a sign through. Right. It was a promise to get people to, that this will be something that will lead you. This promise will move you forward. I'm not going to give a sign to you now. I'm going to give you a sign to look ahead to. This is the promise. And I think people need to hit that too. I botched up what Josh said. He said it wonderfully. People need to listen to his message. But that aspect.
Totally.
Just too much handcuffing. Too many people. People need to be discerning. We need to seek counsel. We need to seek the scriptures. But to think that God is going to reveal everything and he's going to give us success like the world defines success, I think is problematic. Can really be debilitating for people and discouraging on the one, you know, on the other end of things.
And I think, again, I think it goes back to us and just our goal-oriented culture, you know, and that we want to do something that's quantifiable, something that's measurable. And so if we leave before we have all the answers, you know, we feel like we're not going to do as good of a job at accomplishing the thing we're setting out to do. Right. And that's, again, why we have to remember obedience is what we're accomplishing. When you respond, when you can't see, I mean, blessed are you who believe without seeing Jesus, for one thing, right? I mean, that's, you're responding without seeing. And it's the same thing with call, right? When God calls you something, you take a step without seeing, man, blessed are you for that. God is glorified in that obedience. And that's the goal right there.
Yeah. And I think of my church planting buddies and guys that I know and guys that we know, and even the ministry culture in which we run in, and the, you know, the conferences we go to, and we assess success by the size when we should judge the success of a ministry by their faithfulness. That a ministry that is 10,000 is no more successful than a ministry that is 150. It's the faithfulness. We are our own worst enemies, because we again define it by how much product we move, how many people come in the door, size of the budget, all that kind of stuff. And that's wrong. We proclaim God brings the growth. God be glorified. But the person who has a ministry of 10,000 aren't necessarily any more faithful than the person who has a ministry of 150. Are they proclaiming the gospel? Are they bringing glory to God? Are they faithful to the proclamation of the word? So, guys, we could talk more on this. I thank you for, I like that, even though I push back on you, no small calls, right? People need to get that. No small calls. Bring people into your life. Bring the word in your life. Be obedient to the working. We have the Spirit of God in us. But keep in mind some of this other stuff, too. I want you to or I want to thank you for listening. More information on this series on our website, wchurch.ca. We have both campuses on there, so you can download messages, go on our app, download messages throughout this series. We've joked about this text this week. Mm-hmm. Great text, however, because it really addresses some of the hesitations still that Moses had and how that gets fleshed out. Mm-hmm. So people who are working through this, really important as they go through this. So as you guys both teach on this Sunday, it'd be good to look forward to hearing that thereafter. So, yeah, go online. More stuff on there. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for being a part of this again.
Yep.
All right, thanks.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.